Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos, Daf Mem Beis. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Aleph on the Beis, two lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Hu Damal El Chavrei, somebody said to someone else, Havli Shitmei Zuz of the Pesuk Nebach, give me the 600 Zuz that you owe me. Amalei, so the Loiva responded, Loi Peratich Mei Kabin, have I not repaid you, have I not given you 100 kav of aftzi, of a type of something that grows, the kaimi, that each one of them are sold for 6 suz. So by me, each kav is sold for 6 suz. So by me having given you 100 kav of aftzim, that means I've paid you back the loan. Amalei, to which the malva responded, lav ba'arba arba have a kaimi. No, the price is not 6 zuz a kav. The price is 4 zuz a kav. It's 4 zuz a kav, and it means that you only pay me back 400, not 600. Also, trei sadi v'omrim. So two edim came and said in bar bava kaimi that at that time when he said he paid back, the value was like the malva says, not like the loiva says. So the question is, what is the halacha here? Amar Rava, so Rava said, Chuch Sakafrin, there are two edim that are clearly able to say that what the loiva is saying is not true, and therefore we can't accept what he says. Says the Gemara, Amar Rami Bachama. So he asks, Hamrit, haven't we said at the end of our previous year, the Kamelsa Dolam Yorei the Inish, something that a person doesn't really have to pay attention to, lava date. And therefore, since the loiva is not required to really remember exactly what was the price, what was the value, what he gave back, all he really has to remember is that he paid back his debt. And therefore, his claim should be accepted. So the way the Meiri learns Pshat in this Gemara is that the Malva said that he didn't get paid back at all. And when the Loiva is saying that it was worth 6 per kav, wasn't that they're having an argument, that they're arguing about how much were they worth, but rather the question here was, what did he pay back at all? And the fact that he got the price long is an indication that he's saying something that's not true. And therefore, when he says he paid back entirely, then the halacha is, that's why the Gemara is suggesting he shouldn't be believed. But if, according to the Meiri, the Malva would have agreed that he did get paid back somewhat, there's only an argument, how much was it worth, then the halacha might be very, very different. That, and there the halacha may be that he's not considered a huchzik kafrin. Moreover, the Ran says, based on this Gemara, we see that it's not required to say how you paid back. As long as you could definitively say that you paid back, that's all the halacha requires. Because if the halacha were to require that you know all the details, so then then why would the Gemara call this Milsad L'Ramyan Alei D'Inish, that a person is not responsible to know this? The fact that the Gemara doesn't say it is clearly indication that a person is not required to know all the details. Amalei Rava, says the Gemara, even though we learned that Milsad L'Ramyan Alei D'Inish Lava Datei, a person doesn't remember all details. However, Tzusa D'Tara Mitka Dikar Inish, if a person, the price of what something is worth is something somebody will remember. And therefore, the fact that he got the price long is an indication that he was saying something which wasn't true. Another story. Somebody said to somebody else, Havlei mei zuz de mesik nebach. Again, give me the 100 zuz that you owe me. V'hosh shtara. And here's the shtar that you still owe it to me. And as we often say in our shurim, the fact that the malva is holding on to the shtar is an indication that the loan was not paid back. Amalei, but yet we find that the loiva says, Praticha, I did pay you back. And he says, so says the malva, Han misutroininu. The money that you paid was for a different loan. In other words, besides that you had, as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, that the Malva is saying that there are two loans outstanding. One is the loan in the Shtar, and also another loan. And their dispute is which is the loan that was paid back. And there's no argument that he did pay back one loan. The question is, which was that loan? What loan was paid back when that they're both agreeing that they paid? The loiva is saying that I was very clear that the loan I'm paying back is the loan that's on the document. And you, the malva, didn't say anything. So the fact that you didn't say anything means that you accepted that that's what that payment is for. And now the malva is saying, I didn't mean that. The fact that I remained quiet is not because I agreed with what you said. I was smart enough that to remain quiet. Because like that, by me remaining quiet, I'll get the loan, which is a harder loan to collect, because it doesn't have a shtar backing it up. And then now I'm holding on to the shtar, and you'll have to pay me back for the shtar loan. Amar Rav Nachman. So says the one we have a machlokes amaroyim, how to deal with this situation. Rav Nachman's opinion is isra shtara, because since, as we just said, he agrees that he did get paid. So the fact that he did get paid, now he can't say that it was for a different loan. Whereas Rapapa's opinion is, lo yisru shtara, the shtar did not get weakened. And when the malva is saying that I took this payment for the other obligation you have to me, he's belief. So there's a machlokes rishonim, how to understand what Rav Nachman means to say. The Rif says that the shtar becomes completely useless, and regarding the other obligation, so, and that's considered the obligation that was paid up, and regarding the other obligation, it's just a milva peh, and as we've been learning in our shurim, if somebody comes to someone else and says, you owe me money, and he can't back it up with a shtar, all the loiva has to do is make a shvuas heses, and he won't have to pay. Rabbeinu Chananel says that when Rav Nachman says isra shtara, he didn't say that the shtar is bottle. Let's pay attention to the words. Isra shtara means that it's weakened, but not that it's completely nullified. And therefore, he says that the shtar still has some validity, but if the malva is going to want to collect with the shtar, he's going to have to make a shvua that it wasn't paid up. The Ramban says similarly, that he focuses on the Gemara's wording of isra shtara, not if the shtara. And he says what that means is that we know that when somebody has a shtar to collect with, so normally somebody who has a shtar who could collect with is even able to go after Lekuchis, is even able to go after Nechosim Shabadim. This shtar has been sufficiently weakened that you can't go after the Lekuchis, but it has still some strength that B'nai Chayrin you'll be able to go after. Taisus Pshat is that Isra Shtar means that the Shtar is weakened. You can't go after anything with the Shtar, but on the other hand, you don't rip up the Shtar. So what does it accomplish? So Taisus says that what accomplishes is that if he's Typhus, we often have this concept of seizing assets, that if the malva will seize assets, he can rely on the shtar for that purpose. Ask the Gemara, Rapapa, who says that the shtar is still in effect. Rapapa, why is this different than when somebody said to his friend, Havli Meizuzudim, said to somebody else, Havli Meizuzudim is sick, give me the 100 zuz you owe me for hashtar, and this is the shtar. Amalei, so the loiva said, Lav Eturi Yahavtali, didn't you give me this for this money, the money I owed you, we decided that I will buy animals for them and we'll shech those animals and then we'll sell the meat and divide the profit. And I did exactly as we agreed. And you came to the place where the meat is butchered and sold. You keep out the zuzach and you got your money. Vamalain again, the Malva said, Hanu Sutranoyhu, this deal that we entered with that money was for other money that you owed me. Vamra Papa, and Rapapa said, in relation to that story, it's Rishtara, that the Shtar in that case, because they're agreeing that something happened, that the Shtar got weakened. So why over here does he not agree to that? Answers the Gemara, Hasam, in the case that we just mentioned with the animals, Kim the Kamar, since the Malva, Loiva says to the Malva, Turiya Haftali, you let me use the money for animals, the Turiya Shekalt, and you got that animal, so you're agreeing that there was an obligation, there was a deal that we entered regarding the animals. And that's why Isra Shtar, because he's agreeing that there was a full-fledged transaction regarding that money. Hacha, but in our case, that he doesn't agree that he received the money in a transaction, there's no connection between the two transactions. Here he could say, is Sitroi Ninu, that it was for a different obligation. So says the Gemara, my have a law. So we learned now a sugya of Sitroi, when the Malva claims that I got paid, but I got paid for different obligations. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the halach l'maisam? Rapapi amaloyas rishtara, that the shtar, given that the Malva is still holding on to the shtar, so that shtar is still in full force. Rosheshe breder of Idi amar isra shtar, the shtar gets weakened, and says the Gemara in the Hilchasa is the isra shtari, that the shtar did get weakened because there was some payment, and the fact that they argue about what the payment is for is immaterial. However, comments the Gemara, for Hanimili, this that we just said, that the shtar got weakened, the pari bapisade, that the loiva paid up in front of Edom, v'loi itgale shtara, and even though the loiva did not explicitly say that this is for the obligation that's in the shtar, however, the Gemara is assuming that if somebody has two debts to a person, and one is a debt that is in a shtar, and one is in a debt that's not in a shtar, the person is more likely to want to pay up the debt that he has in a shtar. Because as we keep on learning, a chayv that's in a shtar is a much stronger lien against the person than a chayv that's not in the shtar. Ava pari ben day the day. So therefore, we assume that that was paid up that way. Ava pari ben day the day. If the loiva just paid up the malva without any edim there, Miga the Yachal Meimer Lohayot Dvarim Ma'ilim. So the Malva always could have a Migu and say this never happened. That's why Yachal Ne'amil Meimer, we believe him when he says Satroi Nenu Ukravim Yibrei Dravavua, who taught us such a halacha Masechtik Subas Da Pehei Amar Aleph, that somebody was obligated money to somebody else in a shtar, and he sent that money to the Malva, and the Shliach, he sent that money to the Malva with a Shliach, and the shliach did not ask back for the shtar, and then the malva claimed that the money he received was for a different obligation that was from this person to him, and therefore the shtar is not paid up. And Ravua paskind, since this payment was done without edim, we believe the malva because he could have said lahaya dvarim ba'ilim. Says the Ramal Alocha Lamaisa, what will be if there was, here we said that if there were two Edom, Isra Shtara. If there are no Edom, then we say Loi Isra Shtara. What would be the halacha if there's only one aid? So there are more paskins that if there's only one aid, we don't say Isra Shtara. And that's really a Ramban, because Ramban says that one aid only is Mechayev Shvua, but one aid is not an indication that he paid. And therefore, the halacha will be that just like by no edim we say isra shtara, by one aid we will say the same. Hudam al-Khavri continues the Gemara. Somebody borrowed money from somebody else, and he said in front of edim, Mehemetly, I will believe you when Kol Amos Damit Lila Prana. The Loiva said to the Malva that if we will ever have a dispute, the Malva will be believed if he says he's not paid. In other words, even though we have a rule that B'chol HaTorah, HaMoitzim Chaver Olav Araya, and therefore if the Loiva says I paid, and the Malva says you didn't pay, the Loiva is considered to be in the stronger position because of the Aloch HaMoitzim Chaver Olav Araya. Here, we give more power to the he gave up his rights to the Malva. Also power Bapisade. But the Loiva went and paid him up in front of Edom. And he claimed, and then that was, I guess, to protect himself. But the Malva is claiming, I never got paid. Says the Gemara, Abayv Rabam Tova Hemne. The Loiva said, we will always follow what you say. And therefore, if the Malva is saying I didn't get paid, it seems that the halacha should be that we should follow what the Malva says. Maskler, a papa, that ne de hemni tfei menafshe. Let's understand. Yes, this Loiva said, you will always be more believed than I. However, tfei misade mi hemne, did he mean to say that you're going to be so believed even more than Edom? And therefore, he says that he won't be believed. He says the Gemara further, you always be believed when you say you didn't paid, that you will be trusted like two Edom who said it wasn't paid. And says the Gemara, but he paid up, also paribab tlosa, the Loiva paid up in front of three people. Says the Gemara, Omra Papa, yes, the Loiva said, kibay tri hemni, you will always have the same, you will be equal to two Edom. However, he didn't say equal to three people. And since I have three people supporting my claim that I paid you up, I shouldn't have to pay you. When the Rabbanan say that numbers count, and we look at how many people do you have to back up your claim, Hani Mili, Amadam Rabbanan Zlin Basaroy Davis, Hani Ilaminyan Umdana. That means if we have to value what something is worth, so more the opinion of more people is what we're going to follow. Could the kamde nefishi b'kiyat tvei? The more people that concur to one opinion is an indication that that's the right assessment. Avlin in Edis, he was speaking about Edis, and one of the fundamental halachas of Edis is that the Torah says al pishnei edim yakum davar, that only two Edom are required. And once the Torah said that only two Edom are required, the Torah doesn't differentiate between 2 and 100. Avalin yin Edus mei ketrei v'trei kameya. So if he said that two are believed, that the halach is that two and 100, even so they are equal. So even if he has three Edom backing up his point, he should still lose. So the Ritva asks, in a case where he said you will be believed like two, and the Malva will be believed like two, and the Loiva now brings two Edom, why would that be considered a situation of trey v'trey? We have two Edom in one direction. Yes, he gave the Malva the authority as two people, so it should be considered like trey v'trey. And when we ever have a situation, obviously, of trey v'trey, the halacha says we leave things status quo, and the Loiva wouldn't have to pay. Says Sarushainim in answer to this question, say when this person, the Ritva and the Rajba both say this, when this Loiva gave the Malva the strength of two Edom, it's much more than just saying I'm giving you the strength of two Edom. He's saying I'm giving you the strength of two Edom, but what he's also saying is that if there will be a situation of Trey or Trey, it will have this type of an impasse. You will always win. And therefore, if we'll only have two against two, the Malva would certainly win. The issue that the Gemara brought up is because we have two against three. And once we have two against three, that already changes the entire discussion. The Nas says the Gemara Lishnachar in a different version of this discussion. Hu damalei l'chavrei, memes leikubei trei, you will be believed like two Edom. Kol Emes to Amos like Purana. Whenever you will say that I didn't pay you up, said the loiva to the malva. Also parabe apitlasa, and the loiva paid up in front of three Edom. Amar papa kibay trei hamni. He gave him the power of two. Trei trust loy hamni, but he didn't give him the power of three. And therefore, since he has three Edom backing the loiva has three Edom backing up his position, he should win. Maskler of Hunabarad of Yeshua, what's the difference of three or two? As we just said, isn't the halacha teach us the trei kameya umei katrei, says the Gemara, and therefore the fact that he has three shouldn't help him any. However, the Amalek kibay telosa, if he said, I'm going to believe you like three, that changed the halacha. For also api arba, the loiva told the malva, I'm going to give you the strength of three people. And then he paid him up in front of four people. So now let's think about this. Why would he give him the power of four? If, as we're learning throughout our shiur today, two Edom are equal to 100. So what's the point of four? The point of him saying four, explained the Rishonim, in explaining the Gemara, is they're saying that now we're not looking at this as a case of Edom. We're looking at this as a case of opinions. The fact that he said, I'm going to give you the power of three, but he, the loiva, paid him up in front of four. So this is clearly an indication that now we have a story of Nachas L'Deis. We're looking at opinions. And since he's Nachas L'Deis, since he has four and you have three, that's why the loiva who has four will win. We learned further in the Mishnah, Enish by Matanis Chayah Shait V'Katan, V'Emesh Binis Katan. We don't answer a claim of Chayah Shait V'Katan, and similarly, we don't swear on their claim, and we don't make a cotton swear. So there's a machlokes rishonim, when is this halacha discussed? Some explain that this is speaking about a case of Bari Veshema, and that there the Torah gives us an obligation of shvuah, the halacha is we don't. But in a case where there's real uncertainty around this story, then the halacha, you know, it's like Moed B'Mixas, but there's real uncertainty, that's where we don't make a shvuah. In other cases, we do make a shvuah. And other Rishonim learn that the way to understand, so, in other words, according to those Rishonim, this is only speaking about a case where shvuah is made because somebody made a claim against someone else. And as we've been learning in our shurim, sometimes a shvuah is required, sometimes a shvuah is not required. But in a case where it isn't built on claim and counterclaim, then a shvuah is made. Other Rishonim, however, say that the Mishnah set a blanket rule that ain't nishbarim al katan, and the fact that the Mishnah made this blanket rule means it applies in all situations. Says the Gemara, my Tama, why do we not respond to a tain of a cheres shoyt of a katan? Answers the Gemara, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Kitan ish al reyu kasev a kelim lishmar, vein asinus katan. A cotton's giving, a cotton's appointing me to be a shomer is klum, is meaningless. Avonish boyin le cotton l'hegdish. So the Mishnah continued saying, Avonish boyin le cotton l'hegdish. So I asked the Gemara the obvious question, Amrit, we just said that the halacha is, Einish boyin al taras cheres shoyt v'cotton. We're not obligated to respond to the claim of a cheres shoyt v'cotton. And now we're saying that we do respond to the cheres shoyt v'cotton. How do we reconcile our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Babar B'tainas Aviv, that if the cotton is saying that my father gave you something to watch, and therefore since he's not making his own claim, he's only coming as an extension of his father, and therefore since his father, as we just learned a moment ago, was an ish when he gave this to you to watch, so Shu is in order. Rav Laza Omer, and says the Gemara, this is the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakovi, the Tanya of Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Pamish Adam Nishba Tanis Atzmai. Even a person based on his own claim sometimes has to make a shvuah. Ketsa, what does that mean? Amalai, if the loiva said to the son of the malva, Mana lavicha biyadi, I owed your father money, v'chal the press, and I gave him back 50%, I'm ready to give you back the other 50%. Hareza Nishba. That's considered a case of Moed B'Mixas, And since, even though he initiated the story, even though he initiated this entire conversation, he will still have to make a shvua. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. He didn't have to say anything. And if he wouldn't have said anything, maybe the son, the cotton, would have never known. Therefore, he's potter. And therefore, he says, just like, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if somebody admitted on his own, he has to swear, even though there was no claim against him. So too, if there's a cotton who's just taking over his father's place, because there was money owed to his father, the person will always have to swear. Ask the Gemara. But Chum said a very strong svara, ask the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, lesley meshev aveda potter. Did Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov not say that the person who's a meshev aveda, that he's being... he was being nice. He didn't have to say anything. So why should he have to swear? So Dumar Amarav, Bishatana Cotton. We're talking about a situation where the cotton came with a claim. But ask them, why would that make a difference? Cotton, if the cotton made the claim for Amrit, Ainish Bonam Tanis Khershait for cotton, the claim that a cotton makes is meaningless, says Dumar Olam Godel. The one that's making the claim is a godel. So if he's a godel, ask the Gemara, am I Carly Cotton? Why is the Mishnah calling him a cotton? Says the Gemara, as far as his father's issues are concerned, cotton, who he's considered a cotton, because he doesn't know what really happened. Yehochi, says the Gemara, if that's the case, that there was a claim, but it just wasn't a claim that this person should really be 100% certain about, so why is it called Tanis Atzmai, that the loiv is making the claim? It's emanating, Tanis Acherim Hi, it's emanating from the son of the Malva. Answers the Gemara, yes. What Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov meant to say, that's Tanis Acherim, it began with this son making the claim, but it continued with Dois Atzmai. And then he made the partial admission. So ask the Gemara, all situations are Moedim and Mixes. Isn't that the circumstances? Kulanami Tanis Acherim Vadois Atzman Nanu. What is special here? That says the Gemara. Ella says the Gemara, the Machloikis. Ella says that we go back to what we said, that the cotton is coming with a claim. And the reason that we even entertain this claim, because he's saying that it originated from my father, and my father was an ish when he gave it to you. And the machlokes here is with the Rabbi Kamifki over something Rabbi taught us. Amar Rabbi, Neima Amar Torah, Maidu Mixes Tani Yishava. It's a very interesting, the whole halacha of Maidu Mixes is a very interesting halacha. If somebody completely denies obligation, denies a loan, so Midaraisa, he's off the hook. If somebody who we think is being honest, and he's saying, I owe you, but I only owe you a certain amount, he has to swear. Says the Gemara, isn't that counterintuitive? But rather explains the Gemara, because we have a chazaka that ain't on the maze, pa'na b'fnei chayv. If I owe somebody money, I don't have the chutzpah to say I don't owe you money. The person really would have liked to deny the entire obligation, but he doesn't have the chutzpah to do so. So why didn't he do it? And why did he only say that he owes half? Because he doesn't have the chutzpah to say, I don't owe you money. So if that's the case, that we have here a chazaka, that a person's not going to want to say something which is so patently untrue, so then the kulabai delay. So he doesn't have that chutzpah, so he should be admitting that he owes the money. Says the Gemara, because the high delay, why is he not really admitting as he should be that he still owns the money? Because he doesn't have the money. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to buy some time. The sover, and he thinks to himself, until I'll have the ability to pay him up, or I'll pay him up. Then I'll pay him the balance. And that's why this person who begins this type of rationalization is going down a very slippery slope of lying. And therefore, Rahman Amar, and that's why the Torah said, when the person is going down this line of thinking, Rami Shvuale, the Torah says, let him make a Shvua, Kech Delei Delei Bekule, like that's how we'll get the truth. So here the Gemara says there's a concept of Ein Adam Meis What is the reason for this? So Rashi seems to explain that if somebody did me a favor, I'm not going to pay back the favor by lying and say, did me a favor and lent me money. It's not understandable that my response will be so terrible and lie that I don't owe you the money. According to that line of reasoning, so this will be by a loan. You did me a favor and you lent me money. It doesn't make any sense that my response will be that I don't owe you, that I just will deny. But by pekadon, where you asked me to watch something, so now you didn't do me any favor. I actually did you a favor. So according to Rashi's understanding of Ein Adam Meis Panam Afnei Baal Chayva, there the person may indeed feel no problem to lie. The reverse says that it's a different explanation on how we understand Ein Adam Meis Afnei Kol HaChayva. People don't have the chutzpah, according to Rivah's understanding of our Gemara, to say an outright lie to somebody who I know knows that I'm lying. And therefore, according to the Rivah's understanding, this din of Ein Adam Meis Afnei Baal Chayva would not make a difference if I received a loan from somebody else or I was watching somebody else's thing. In both cases, I don't have the chutzpah to lie when I know that you know I'm lying. So now the Gemara explains. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Sover, lo yishna boi v'lo yishna b'mnoi ein emez. This chazakah that the Gemara established is both to the son and to the father. And therefore, since in both cases, he won't lie. Vilkach, and therefore, the person who's admitting is not considered Meshav Veda. It's not that he's admitting because he's a good person. He's admitting because that's the psychology here. Rabbanan said, Rabbi Fanov, by the father who the Ename is, he's not going to say an outright lie to the father. In front of the son, then he will say something not true. And the fact that he didn't just say, I don't owe you anything, is clearly indication, Meshav Avedahu. And as I was learning this Gemara, I was thinking that this machloikis that the Gemara is now suggesting is actually the machloikis of Rashi and the Rivah. If you say that a person is not going to lie to somebody who did him a favor, so it doesn't make a difference, it's the father or the son. I feel obligated to these people, the father, and now by extension his son, who did me a favor and lent me money, and therefore the halacha will be that I won't lie. But in a case where, and according to that explanation, the halacha is, that's why he's considered, he's not considered a Meshav Aveda, whether it's the father or the son. The other explanation follows the reverse explanation, that a person's not going to lie in front of a person who knows that I am lying. If that's the explanation, so the father knows that I'm lying, the son doesn't know I'm lying. And therefore, it's very different. Ask the Gemara, can we explain that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Haktani Reisha, we learned in the Reisha of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, somebody said, you owed my father, the Malva's son says to this Loiva, you owed my father money. And the Loiva responds, Ein loch b'yadi elechamishim dinner potter, neshemeshu avedahu. So we see that that's not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that in such a case, when the son is like the father, says the Gemara Hasam, it's talking about with Loyama Barili. The son said you owed my father money, but he wasn't saying it definitively. Hacha, in this case, that's the ratio. And since he wasn't definitely sure that the money is owed to him, so therefore the halacha is he doesn't have to pay. Hacha, this safe is talking about Dama Barili. Shmuel has a different explanation. When the Mishnah said Nishbon Lakotan is Liparam Nechsekotan, if somebody has a document that somebody's father owed him money, and now his father passed away, and now you want to collect money from the Kotan, because who is the Yorish of that estate, you can never collect that money without a Shvuah. Or Lahegdish, the same thing is, L'parim nechse agdish. Somebody owed you money. And then he went and he was magdish's assets. But there was a prior lien on those assets before he was magdish those assets. So now he's coming to collect from Hegdish. And he has a right to collect from Hegdish because there's a lien on the Hegdish. There halacha will be that since there's a lien on that you're going to collect from Hegdish, you're entitled to collect from Hegdish, but you can only collect with a shvua. Lekotin, says the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah means, lepar menachsi kotin, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah and Daf Mem Hei teaches us. Where the Mishnah Daf Mem Hei teaches us explicitly, Menichsa Yisayim Lo Yiparel B'Shvua. So now we have a question, Tati Lomeli, why do we have to have two Mishnayis to teach us the exact same din? Answers the Gemara, Ha Kamashmalan, Kedabai Kshisha. The Gemara is teaching us what Abai Kshisha taught us. The Tana Abba Kshisha, Yisayim Sh'amru, when we speak about Yisayim that you're collecting from, that if you want to collect from them, you have to make a Shvua, Gedoylim, Vein Tzarech Lo Mekatanim. The Chazal made that rule by Yisayim HaGdoylim, and certainly that rule will apply by Yisayim HaKtanim. Bein L'Shvua, and that halacha applies that you can't collect from the Yisayim without making Yisshvua, and Bein Zaburius, that when you're collecting from the Yisayim, you don't normally, a Bachoyv collects Beininus, here you'll only be able to collect Zaburius. And that's why this halacha was stated twice. L'Hegdish, what did we say with the Mishnah meant L'Hegdish? The L'Parim Nechse Hegdish, that if you're going to collect from Nechse Hegdish, you're going to have to make a Shvua. Says the Gemara, but we're collecting from the Hegdish, as we explained, why are you collecting from the Hegdish? Because there was a lien on these assets. So ask the Gemara, that also is taught in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Hei, where the Mishnah says, if somebody's coming to collect from the Chosim Shibodim, L'Parim B'Shvua. And therefore, why should it make a difference? Mali Mishabadim, if these are Nechosim Mishabadim that you are collecting from, why should it make a difference if it's Mishabadim Lahedyid or Mali Gavoya? Answer the Gemara Itzrach. Sakdat Chemina, who Mehedyid, why did Chazal require that somebody should make a shvua when he's collecting from Nechosim Mishabadim? Mehedyid, who Dodam Isaac Kanunya Lahedyid. Chazal were concerned that we have here Malvin Aloyva. The loiva sold off the assets on which there was a lien. And now we're concerned that the malva and the loiva already paid up the malva. And now the malva and the loiva collude. And they say, I'm going to agree that I didn't get paid. And you'll be able to now go, the loiva tells the malva, I'm going to say I didn't pay you. And now the malva could go after the nechosim shibadim. And by going after the nechosim shibadim, he'll be able to collect again because he really did get paid already. And then we'll divide that asset that the malva wasn't entitled to because the loiva helped him get that asset. And people have sometimes, the Gemara suggests, may do something that. Avil Hegdish, but if it by Hegdish, there perhaps in other Moser Kanuya Hegdish, to treat Hegdish that way is not something that people want to do. So the Gemara Kamash Malam. Ask the Gemara, Vamrav Huna, Shchimerah, Shegdish Kol Nechosov. The Mishnah teaches us that if Shechidish, if Shchimerah was magnus all of his assets, Vamaman Plani Biyadi, and then he says, but even though I gave all of my assets to Hegdish, I owe somebody money, Neman, because Chazaka Eid Adamais Knunyel Hegdish. People aren't going to treat Hegdish that way. So here we're seeing that the Shvua is required by Hegdish, because people may cheat Hegdish. And there we see people don't cheat Hegdish. Answers the Gemara, Amri, Hani Mili, B'Shchimera. When was that said by Shchimera? The Shchimera is about to die. So by cheating and saying that I owe somebody money and we need to be concerned that he's really making conspiracy with that person in order to get back some of that money, a person who's about to leave the world, we have a klal, we have a rule, nobody's going to cheat under those circumstances. Avil Bari, here we're talking about a healthy person. There is a legitimate concern that he may cheat. And not only is there concern that he may cheat, but he even may cheat as far as he may even cheat. He may even cheat regarding Hegdish as well. And therefore, Shvu is required. The Ksav Seifer explains this Gemara based on the famous Gemara in Masechta Shabbos Taflam and Aleph, Well, Hillel said to the Ger, who asked him, please summarize for me all of the Torah. And he said, the basis of all the Torah is Madalach Sani, what you don't want done to you, L'chavrich Loisavid, don't do to somebody else. So he explained that that Gemara is really based on our Gemara. Our Gemara just taught us the rule of Ein Adam Chaytav Loiloi. A person is not going to do an Avera when he has no benefit. He says, once we learned, and we actually learned it in Am Sechta, there's a rule of Klal Yisrael, Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. All of Klal Yisrael are connected. If all of Klal Yisrael are connected, so yes, somebody wants, unfortunately, to do an Avera. And the reason he does the Avera, because we have a Yetzihara, and the Yetzihara tries to convince us that we should look at the temporary Hano, the temporary benefit we're going to get from the Avera. But if somebody is going to personally benefit from an Avera, we could start to understand why he might do an Avera. But says the Ksav Sofer, Hillel meant to tell you, you're doing the Avera because you're benefiting from the Avera. And that's why maybe you're going to do an Avera. But to do an Avera, where not only is it going to be considered that you did the Avera, but it's going to be considered like somebody else did the Avera. And that other person didn't have any benefit from the Avera. So what Hillel told the Ger was, that what is the basis of our religion? The basis of our religion is that we're going to do an Avera for benefit. But if every time we do an Avera, everybody else is responsible, and they have no benefit, then there's no reason to do an Avera. The Paiskim discuss this concept that Ein Adam Chayt V'Loiloi, a person's not going to do an Avera where he personally won't have any benefit. What would be the halacha if he personally won't have any benefit, but his son will not have any benefit? So the Paiskim seem to say that even though the person won't have any benefit, but there's a strong relationship, obviously, between a father and a son. And because there's such a strong relationship between parents and children, so just like we're saying that a person might do an Avera when he has something to gain, so we have the same point to make here, that a person may do an Avera even if he won't have any gain, if his children will gain. Says the Mishnah Veilad Vam Shein Ish Banam Leim, for the following situations, no shua is made. Havadim v'ashtaras v'akakos v'akdeshes. Furthermore, by stealing any of these things, we know that the halacha is that if you steal, you have to pay kefil. There's no obligation of tashlumi kefil. And if you steal a shor that belongs to Hegdish, for example, and normally if you steal a shor and you shecht it, the halacha is you have to pay arba v'chamisha, you psecht it or sell it. There's no tashlumi arba v'chamisha when we speak about these different situations. The Rishonim say that the Mishnah is only speaking about a Shvu Daraisa, like a Moed V'Mixis or Eid Echad. But we also introduced in this perek the concept of Shvuas Heses. Shvuas Heses is a Shvu D'Rabbanan, and most Rishonim are of the opinion that Shvu D'Rabbanan is made even on these type of situations. Moreover, the Rishonim point out something that we've learned, that the halacha is that we don't make a shvua in these situations, but the halacha still is the gilgal shvua. If we're obligated to make a shvua in a different situation, the halacha of gilgal shvua says that we'll make a shvua on these as well. Says the Gemara, Shem Echinim, we know if a Shem Echinim is watching something and he claims it was stolen or lost, he has to swear. Ein anishba, by these things he doesn't swear. A nice socher, Shem Socher, has to pay by Geneva Veda, not on these objects. If Shimon Omer, Kachem Shchai B'Kuyusan, we know when somebody designates something as a Hegdish, as a carbon, that could be different types of, it could be Harei Zu, or Harei, he could donate it as Harei Zu, or Harei Lai. If he says Harei Lai, that means if something happens, he'll have to replace it. And therefore, it's considered not like Hegdish, and the Shvua is made. But if he said Harei Zu, then if something happens, he's not responsible. Shein echay b'chiyusa enish banalayim. Remei ha-meyesh dvarim shein kekarka. The thing the things that are on the ground, Ketzad. Somebody claims Esagafanim to Unus Masati Loch. I asked you to watch 10 grapevines full of grapes. No, you only asked me to watch 5. That normally would be considered a case of Maida B'Mixas, but here we're talking about Karka. Ramey says that even though we're still talking about Karka, and Mara will explain this, Mechayiv Shua. We're talking about grapevines. And therefore, since it's Karka, there's no Shua. And Mishgoyin, El Dov Shemeda Shabamishko Shemaminyan. The person who's making the claim has to be able to clearly identify how much was owed to him, how much was he asked to watch, and then the person responds with giving a very clear answer. Ketzad, if the person who's making the claim says, "Bayis Moli Masati Loch, I gave you a room full of fruit. Kis Moli Masati Loch, I gave you a wallet full of money. Veloyama any idea, El Shemanachta Atanoitl, I don't know how much you gave me. Here's your wallet back, here's the room back. That's how much as you gave me, Potter. However, if Zeimer ad hazis, if the person making the claim says there was fruit till the top of the room, the Zeimer ad chaloyin, there was only fruit till the window, that would be a case of Maida B'Mixas and Chayiv. Says the Gemara, Teshe Klume Kefil Manolon. How do we know that by all these things there's no Kefil? The Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk that teaches us the halacha of Kefil says, Akol Dvar Pkesha, which is a klal. Ashava Chamova Seva Sam is a prat. A kol aveid the chos of a klal. So this is a type of a limit that we've had in this mesechta of klal prat to klal. That the halacha is yet don elokin a prat. The prat, the details come to define ma prat mefurish davim tatal. It's something that's movable, the guf of mammon, and has inherent value. So the halacha of kefil only applies af kol davar tatal. It has to be movable, the guf of mammon. So yotzuka karkos, so property is excluded, shematatlon, they're not movable. Yotza vodim, shokshla karkos. Yotza shtaru, shabri shematatlon, ain't gufa mammon, that even though they're matatlon, but they don't have intrinsic value. The hegdish, and how do we know the hegdish is excluded? Because the pasuk says, yishalm shnaim l'reyu, the pasuk that speaks about kefil, and reyu ksiv, and hegdish is obviously not l'reyu. Furthermore, we learned, there's no tashlum above a chamisha. My Tama, why not? Says the Gemara, whenever the Torah speaks about a Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha payment on Rachmana, that has Kefil as being number 2, and then you have, on top of it, Arba V'Chamisha. But if now we excluded Kefil, as we just finished learning, so it's not going to be Arba V'Chamisha, because the Kefil is excluded. So it won't be 4 or 5 times times the loss, it'll be 3 or 4. But the Torah doesn't ever obligate you to pay Shloish Shavar Ba. Since the Torah doesn't obligate you to pay Shloish Shavar Ba, therefore there's no such a thing as Shloish Shavar Ba in all these cases. If there's no Kefil, there's no Arba V'Chamisha either.